Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 639, titled, The Aliens Are Coming, The Aliens Are Coming, Not Part Two. This has been recorded on June 22nd of the year 2008. Well, happy summer, folks, and as we cruise past the solstice, we're going to be taking a look at the UFO phenomenon and the ET myth, something we've done in a number of past broadcasts. We're going to open by reading in at greater length an article to which I alluded ever so briefly at the end of For the Record 638. The following comes from Science Daily of June 12, 2008. It's headlined, Professor Designs Plasma-Propelled Flying Saucer. The article reads in part, Flying saucers may soon be more than science fiction. University of Florida Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering Associate Professor Subrata Roy has submitted a patent application for a circular, spinning aircraft design reminiscent of the spaceship seen in countless Hollywood films. Roy, however, calls his design a wingless electromagnetic air vehicle, or WEAV, W-E-A-V. The proposed prototype is small. The aircraft will measure less than 6 inches across and will be efficient enough to be powered by onboard batteries. Roy said the design can be scaled up and theoretically should work in a much larger form. Even in miniature, though, the design has many uses. Skipping down, the U.S. Air Force and NASA have expressed interest in the aircraft and the university is seeking to license the design, he said. This is a very novel concept, and if it's successful, it'll be revolutionary, Roy said. The vehicle will be powered by a phenomenon called magnetohydrodynamics, or the force created when a current or a magnetic field is passed through a conducting fluid. In the case of Roy's aircraft, the conducting fluid will be created by electrodes that cover each of the vehicle's surfaces and ionize the surrounding air into plasma. The force created by passing an electrical current through this plasma pushes around the surrounding air, and that swirling air creates lift and momentum, providing stability against wind gusts. In order to maximize the area of contact between air and vehicle, Roy's design is partially hollow and continuously curved like an electromagnetic flying bunt pan. That's interesting. B-U-N-D-T. I wonder if it's more like a flying bund pan, actually. We took a look at the early development of, quote, UFOs, unquote. They were in their initial manifestation anti-aircraft devices, some unmanned and some of the prototypes manned, that were developed by the Third Reich in the closing stages of the air war in Western Europe. There are substantive indications that they have been developed in the post-war period albeit in an underground fashion, by perhaps the Underground Reich, almost certainly the Underground Reich, but even more definitively by some of the, quote, victorious, unquote, allies. Note my use of the term victorious in quotes. There are many broadcasts that I've done dealing with the UFO phenomenon and the ET myth. I want to refer listeners to a lecture called The Political Implications of the UFO Phenomenon and the ET Myth. It was recorded in 1992. It's available for download for free on the Spitfire website. And there are a number of For the Record shows dealing with this phenomenon. Most recently, For the Record 588. The reason that I stress that the indications are very strong that there have been not only circular but other unconventionally shaped aircraft developed not by space aliens but by people right here on terra firma is that the political implications of this are enormous. In one of the relatively early For the Record shows, I mentioned, quoting from a New York Times article, that a recent poll, a poll taken in the late 1990s, showed that 42% of college graduates believed that we had been visited by aliens and that they were living among us. That's college graduates, folks. That is a powerful political phenomenon. And there are very, very, very significant indications, again, that so-called UFOs or, quote, flying saucers, unquote, are real. They do not come from outer space. I would bet a very large sum of money that the technology that has been, quote, invented, unquote, by Professor Roy actually has already been utilized by some of the world's military and scientific establishments. Again, there have been some very credible reports of, quote, UFOs, unquote. We're going to take a look at one very recently. This is from the San Jose Mercury News, which in turn is accessing a Los Angeles Times story by Denise Galeen. Texas town recovers from its UFO mania. It's dateline Stephenville, Texas. And this is from the San Jose Mercury News of Friday, June 20th of 2008. Constable Leroy Guyton saw the red, brilliant red orbs hovering in the sky and hollered for his family to come out. "It's probably an airplane," said his wife Wendy, who didn't budge from the couch. Only 8-year-old Ryan went to the front yard. "That's a UFO," the boy said. Guyton, a stocky 44-year-old lawman who has spent 16 years patrolling the Texas scrubland, debated whether to tell anybody about it. People would say, "Hey, this guy is nuts. He's crazy," unquote, Guyton said of his sighting on January 8th. In the morning, there were no unusual police reports, but the next day, the Stephenville Empire Tribune came out with a front-page story, "Possible UFO Sighting. 4 Area Residents Witness Mysterious Objects." Soon, scores more said that they had seen the same thing. Stephenville, a ranch town 70 miles northwest of Fort Worth, became home to the biggest mass UFO sighting since the 1997 lights over Phoenix, in which thousands of people reported seeing a boomerang-shaped object in the sky. Stephenville is the largest town in Erath County, population 34,000, in the heart of Texas dairy country. On a cold night in nearby Selden, Steve Allen, 50, and a few friends standing around a fire saw a set of brilliant white lights that were quieter and quicker than anything they'd ever seen. The lights stopped near Stephenville, reconfigured to form an arch shaped like the top of a football. "This is real Friday night lights, by the way, folks," Allen said, and realigned themselves into 2 vertical lines of randomly flashing lights. Then the object burst into a dirty white flame. 10 minutes later, the group saw the lights coming from the opposite direction. Trailing them closely, Allen was certain, were 2 military jets followed by 2 massive red orbs. And again, I think that there are very firm indications that, in fact, so-called UFOs are real, but they don't come from outer space. Among the many sources people can access are some excerpts from the book Intercept But Don't Shoot by Renato Vesco. Those are available in the FTR supplemental section. And I've also, again, talked about some of those in the lecture that is available for download for free. The political implications of the UFO phenomenon and the ET myth. One of the things that writer Jacques Vallée points out, and he's written a couple of very good books about the UFO phenomenon. One of them is called The Messengers of Deception, which is also excerpted at some length in For the Record 588 and the FTR 588 supplemental section that I encourage people to use and read. And one of the things Vallée points out is that human beings have a very strong cultural and historical inclination to be willing to accept or even to look for salvation from above, and I'm going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. There are certainly some very grave crises facing the world. It's altogether possible if we don't change our ways, we're going to wipe ourselves out with global warming or pollution or a combination of those. If, in fact, we don't unleash weapons of mass destruction and wipe our stupid A-blank blanks out ourselves directly and intentionally, we're going to review a couple of articles that talk about people. One of them, a former British Air Force colonel who was in charge of a Royal Air Force investigation into the UFO phenomenon, and he warns about the possibility of getting involved with a war against UFOs. And this is an article called "Aliens Could Attack at Any Time," warns former MOD chief. I want to reiterate a correction. This is not a former Ministry of Defense chief, although the headline would indicate that. He actually was a colonel and is now retired, put in charge of the Royal Air Force's investigation. This article is by Charlotte Gill from the Daily Mail of November 10th of 2006. It reads in part, "UFO sightings and alien visitors tend to be solely the reserve of sci-fi movies. So when a former MOD chief warns that the country could be attacked by extraterrestrials at any time, you may be forgiven for feeling a little alarmed." During his time as head of the Ministry of Defense UFO project, Nick Pope was persuaded into believing that other life forms may visit Earth, and more specifically Britain. His concern is that highly credible, unquote, sightings are simply dismissed. And he complains that the project he once ran is now virtually closed down, unquote, leaving the country wide open, unquote, to aliens. Mr. Pope decided to speak out about his worries after resigning from his post at the Directorate of Defense Security at the Ministry of Defense this week. Quote, "The consequences of getting this one wrong could be huge," he said. And in addition to that, a former Canadian defense minister and deputy prime minister of Canada, Paul Hellyer, had a similar sort of warning. And this comes from a web article entitled, "Former Canadian Minister of Defense Asks Canadian Parliament to Hold Hearings on Relations with Alien ET Civilizations." A former Canadian Minister of Defense and Deputy Prime Minister under Pierre Trudeau has joined forces with three non-governmental organizations to ask the Parliament of Canada to hold public hearings on exopolitics, relations with ETs. By ETs, Mr. Hellyer said these organizations mean ethical, advanced, extraterrestrial civilizations that may now be visiting Earth. On September 25, 2005, in a startling speech at the University of Toronto that caught the attention of mainstream newspapers and magazines, Paul Hellyer, Canada's defense minister from 1963-7 under Nobel Prize Peace Laureate Prime Minister Lester Pearson, publicly stated, "UFOs are as real as the airplanes that fly over your head." Well, that part I agree with completely. Mr. Hellyer went on to say, "I'm so concerned about what the consequences might be of starting an intergalactic war that I just think I had to say something," Hellyer revealed. The secrecy involved in all matters pertaining to the Roswell incident was unparalleled, and you can go on and read that article in its entirety in the supplemental section for the record 588. One of the things that Jacques Vallée points out in Messengers of Deception and also in his book Revelations is that the various manifestations of, quote, ETs, unquote, just don't cut it. He also points out that the analysis of the UFO phenomenon always goes to one of two extremes. Either it's weather balloons, or it's the planet Venus on a bright light, or the pilots or air controllers who saw them were just publicity seekers, or else it's our brothers from space. There's no middle ground that maybe these are real, quote, flying saucers or UFOs, but maybe they don't come from outer space. An experienced pilot knows what the planet Venus looks like on a bright night and is not going to mistake a weather balloon or the planet Venus for a circular or disc-shaped aircraft that is flying or perhaps buzzing his airplane. Air controllers know the same thing. And the notion they would do this to seek publicity is pure BS, because the fact of the matter is you may be able to make some money on the UFO lecture circuit, basically gaming the suckers, and that's pretty much the people that are inhabiting that particular political/economic landscape. But the fact of the matter is you will trash your career. If you're an air controller or a pilot, you are SOL if you identify, quote, UFOs, unquote. What Vallée points out, too, is that the various ET theories have a tendency to correspond to the very worst sort of 1950s B-grade science fiction. It's always a civilization that's technologically a million years advanced in front of our own, but their sun is dying and they have to mate with Earth women. You know, naturally, what else are you going to do? And the behavior of these so-called ETs sounds much more like psychological warfare than it does the behavior of an advanced civilization. Would an advanced civilization with technology a million years in advance of our own fly through space for decades at 186,000 miles per second, the speed of light, in order to play tag with a couple of rednecks that are fishing off a dock in Pascagoula, Mississippi? Not bloody likely. On the other hand, if people wanted to pull some sort of an okey-doke using remarkable technology, the existence of which had not been disclosed to the public, and they wanted the public to believe that, yes, this was our brothers from space, well, that is very characteristic of the way they're behaving. And with an analytical landscape on UFOs being gamed with the two extremes, either it's just, you know, it's nonsense, it's the planet Venus, it's weather balloons, it's publicity speakers, or else, my God, the ETs are here, When the so-called UFOs manifest themselves with whatever, genetically engineered human beings made to look like aliens, or people wearing suits, or holographs to look like aliens, or Jesus, or Richard Simmons wearing pantyhose and a Donald Duck mask, people are going to be gamed to accept this. And in particular, the denizens of the New Age landscape are particularly prone for manipulation in this regard. Vallée points out, Jacques Vallée, that is, in his book Messengers of Deception, that we are very, very vulnerable to a huge cultural coup d'etat in the event that something like this takes place. Yet another defense minister has given credence to the ET phenomenon, and this is from a Yahoo story of December 21st, actually a Bloomberg news story, from December 21st of 2007, it's by Stuart Biggs. Defense Minister Ishiba considers Japan's options in UFO attack. Again, it's Bloomberg News, December 21st. I should stress before I read this, I don't think that when the UFO phenomenon is, with the UFO op, because I think that's exactly what it is, when the UFO op is dropped on us, I don't think it's going to be an alien attack. I think our brothers from space are going to come down to help us, warn us, whatever. And I suspect there's going to be a fusion, for reasons that I'll help underscore in a minute, a fusion between New Age philosophy and some occult beliefs and perhaps Christian redemptionism, perhaps even Orthodox Catholicism. We'll see. We'll talk about that in a minute. But again, a Bloomberg News story of December 21st, 2007 by Stuart Biggs, titled Defense Minister Ishiba Considers Japan's Options in UFO Attack. It reads in part, Japan's Defense Minister Shigeru Ishiba is considering how his self-defense forces could respond to an attack by space aliens while adhering to limits on military action under the country's war-renouncing constitution. Ishiba is the second cabinet minister to profess his belief in unidentified flying objects after Chief Cabinet Secretary Nobutaka Machimura suggested on December 18th that they are the only explanation for, quote, unexplainable, unquote, things like the Nazca Lines, pre-Columbia etchings in the desert south of Lima, Peru. Ishiba said yesterday a Japanese military response such as those in the Godzilla movie series would require legal review, and said he is studying ways Japan could deal with an attack. Ishiba said his comments represent, quote, a personal view, unquote, and not defense ministry policy, according to the transcript of the press conference published on the ministry's website. There are no grounds for us to deny there are unidentified flying objects and some life form that controls them, unquote, Ishiba said. Few discussions have been held on what the legal grounds are for a military response. Ishiba said that if the aliens arrived in Japan in peace, a military response would not be legal under the terms of Japan's pacifist constitution. He also was concerned about communication difficulties if a UFO landed. Well, I think they should just get Oprah, and she can get the folks who wrote The Secret, and they can contact some New Agers, and they can meditate on peaceful thoughts, and they can communicate telepathically with the aliens. Or at least Oprah could. Perhaps I can get Richard Simmons to dress up in pantyhose and a Donald Duck mask, and that'll help game the system. Anyway, obviously I'm deeply skeptical about the existence of ETs. To put it mildly, I am convinced of the existence of UFOs. They've been around for more than half a century, and they do not come from outer space. Interestingly, the Nazi Pope has had some things to say about this. He weighed in recently. The following article is a blog article, and it talks about what the Vatican has had to say. This as of May 14th, 2008. It's by Ariel David of the Associated Press. Vatican, it's okay to believe in aliens. Believing that the universe may contain alien life does not contradict a faith in God, the Vatican's chief astronomer said in an interview published Tuesday, May 13th. The Reverend Jose Gabriel Funes, the Jesuit director of the Vatican Observatory, was quoted as saying the vastness of the universe means it is possible there could be other forms of life outside Earth, even intelligent ones. How can we rule out that life may have developed elsewhere, unquote, Funes said. Just as we consider earthly creatures as a brother and sister, unquote, why should we not talk about an extraterrestrial brother? It would still be part of creation, unquote. In the interview by the Vatican newspaper L'Osservatore Romano, Funes said that such a notion, quote, doesn't contradict our faith, unquote, because aliens would still be God's creatures. Ruling out the existence of aliens would be like putting limits, unquote, on God's creative freedom, he said. The interview headlined, "The Extraterrestrial is My Brother," unquote, covered a variety of topics, including the relationship between the Roman Catholic Church and science and the theological implications of the existence of alien life. Foon has said science, especially astronomy, does not contradict religion, touching on a theme of Pope Benedict XVI, who has made exploring the relationship between faith and reason a key aspect of his papacy. This article, by the way, would not have been published in L'Osservatore Romano, the Vatican newspaper, without the blessing of the Pope, and in a program called the Plunzer Cardinal. That was the Pope's name when he was a cardinal before he became Pope Benedict XVI. We talked about his Nazi background, supposedly one that has been repudiated, but if one examines the book, The Nazis Go Underground by Kurt Rees, published in 1944 and available for download for free on the Spitfire website, then one can examine that the people who were slated for post-war Underground Reich work were to be given anti-Nazi pedigrees for public consumption. One of the things I want to note very quickly, because in just a couple of minutes, We're going to rebroadcast for the record of program 170. That's titled Plan 9 from Berchtesgaden. That was recorded on September 19th of 1999, and it talks about a group called the Nine, unquote. This is part of the New Age melange. I generally pronounce the New Age newage. Rhymes with sewage, which in my opinion is what it is, with all due respect to those who adhere to that. And in this New Age manifestation, a group called the Nine, from whom everything and everybody are supposed to have evolved, including the Egyptians and the Egyptian mysteries, and everybody is all of extraterrestrial origin, extraterrestrial heritage, except for African folks, who are, of course, by clear implication, inferior, unquote. We're going to talk about that in a second. The fact that the Vatican is now entertaining the reality of, quote, ETs, unquote, I find very significant. UFOs were not on my radar screen, so to speak. What put them on there was I saw a statement by Billy Graham saying that UFOs are real, they're angels sent by Jesus. And I said, whoa, what do you know? Because Billy Graham is nothing if not a political animal. And I've been taking a look at UFOs ever since. If, in fact, things continue to disintegrate, and if the environment disintegrates, the economy collapses, if we find ourselves in nuclear war, as I think we will at some point, probably as a result of terrorism, if we continue to spread genetically engineered God knows what around, either intentionally or unintentionally, we're going to find ourselves in serious shape. And I could see a time in the future when Jacques Vallée's observation that people are inclined to accept salvation from above at face value, when basically the economy is destroyed, the ecology is devastated, and people are on their knees, and they're dying of genetically engineered diseases, and there's no hope whatsoever, and people are tearing their hair out and getting ready to euthanize their children, and people say, oh God, will somebody save us? And all of a sudden they'll say, look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's space aliens from Uranus. And they will be told that, ah, here come our brothers from space to save us. In addition, of course, to, we'll talk about that in a second. As a preface to For the Record 170 from 9-1999, research credit on the following, by the way, goes to Roy of Hollywood, who has been braving the Pacifica gale, so to speak, for more than 20 years now to air these programs late night on the Pacifica station in L.A. This is from an Alien Blue Star website, and it talks about our brothers from space. This is an article by Miriam Delicato. And it's a glimpse into the book Blue Star, and it talks about tall, blonde space aliens coming to save us. Well, dang, says Dave. It reads in part, most people who have had direct physical contact will choose not to speak publicly. They have to be concerned about ridicule by the general public. The aliens gave me warnings of a possible future in which the planet and or the human race could face destruction. They asked me to share with you what role they will play if we are threatened by as a species or if there is a threat to the Earth itself. It is a peaceful and positive message. The tall blondes are here to help protect the planet from outside forces that may not be known to us at this time, unquote. They will not allow it to be completely destroyed by us or any other means. They do not claim to be God. If we destroy the planet, then we ultimately change the very existence of all that is. They may make the decision to step in and help the people of this planet if a global event happens that would threaten the ecosystem here on Earth. The tall blonde aliens made it clear to me that this is the only way that they will make themselves known en masse to the world. Others who have had contact with the tall blondes receive messages that are geared toward preparations in the event of a sudden global change. Skipping down, my experiences with the tall blonde aliens have been positive. Huh. I'll be darned. Tall blonde aliens coming from space to save us. That's interesting indeed. By the way, among the religious leaders, in addition now apparently to people operating with the blessings of the Pope, in addition to defense ministers and former defense ministers, in addition to Billy Graham, Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam has been propagating the belief that in fact Elijah Muhammad is circling the earth in a giant mothership UFO, and that eventually he will come, that giant chariot, so to speak, will swing low to rescue black people. I would be very, very careful as you listen on side two to the story of the nine. We're all evolved from space aliens except for black folks. The clear implication being that they are inferior, and in a world threatened with ecological disaster and overpopulation, somebody might decide to blissfully get rid of the inferior people. I hold open the possibility that, quote, UFOs, unquote, could come down and ultimately serve the same purpose for black folks around the world as the rail cars that took the Jews to Auschwitz. So if there are African Americans in the audience, and if someday the UFOs come down, and if people associated with or familiar with the beliefs of the Nation of Islam say, look, it's just like Louis Farrakhan said, here comes Elijah Muhammad in the mothership to take us all up to heaven for salvation. Remember, brothers and sisters, that isn't a mothership, that's a mothership. Okay, and please spread the word. And I say that because in addition to the notion that, the tall, blonde aliens, quote, Aryans, unquote, obviously, is the implication, are here from space to save us, there are also some very disturbing indications that, yes, we're all evolved from space aliens, except for you black folks, which the implication is that you are inferior. Watch out for this, folks, because it looks to me like the UFO op is underway, and we're going to talk about this in side two, which is going to consist of a half hour For the Record show, namely For the Record 170, Plan 9 from Berchtesgaden. Now, I've made reference to other broadcasts and lectures. There is a vast and ever-growing body of information available on the Spitfire and linked websites. Go to www.spitfirelist.com and also to the FTR blog, the For the Record blog, and the FTR supplemental blog, and you can read many of the articles and book excerpts that I talk about many of those websites. I turn each For the Record show into a long article-length description, and all of this is presented absolutely free for fair use. Also, sister station WFMU has made the For the Record series available, much of it on streaming real audio, the rest available for download for free. And on the Spitfire website, there are a couple of lectures available for free. One, the political implications of the UFO phenomenon and the ET myth, and the other is the future, technology, theocracy, and the thousand-year Reich. And again, I strongly recommend that people who want to know my vision of what's going to happen in the future, please access those lectures. And there's also a page to click on to support the work that I'm doing. And if you don't like what you're seeing, and if you're worried about the future, there's no better way of doing something about it than supporting the work that I'm doing. This concludes side one of For the Record program number 639. The aliens are coming. The aliens are coming. Not part two, being recorded on June 22nd of 2008. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.